This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Nice little hour of college football from the boys. Let's have some fun. We've got a ton of NFL to get to in the third hour. Samich, Mike Samich, one of our coworkers, is going to join. We always run the board here on Sharp Money to finish up the show, so you have that to look forward to. Also, as I mentioned, Steve Fezzik, professional handicapper, sent along a best play in the NFL and college football, which we'll get to in just a bit. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you in. Of course, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson at the D in Las Vegas. So I wrote down, and I was just kind of having fun this morning when I woke up and writing down just how prevalent and just how rich the quarterback position is in college football right now. Maybe you guys can come up with a time where it was comparable, but just kind of top tier quarterbacks. Amal Shaw, this isn't necessarily, I mean, maybe it's in a little bit of an order, but not necessarily. So Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels right now might be the best of them. It's insane how well he's playing.
I bet him to win the Heisman this week, by the way.
You did?
Yes.
Okay, maybe you can pull up those numbers for us. So I'll start. Again, I just wrote down who are top-tier quarterbacks right now in college football. Penix Jr., Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Jordan Travis, Dylan Gabriel, Sam Hartman, Quinn Ewers, Shedeur Sanders. I wrote down Riley Leonard, even with the injury, but he's going to be a pro. I wrote down Spencer Rattler because I can't stand Shane Beamer, and Rattler is the only reason to watch the program. But then I kind of put a line underneath. Now, you can correct me, Amal, if you'd like. I put a line underneath, and oddly enough, two teams right now, two of your favorites to win a championship, I had J.J. McCarthy, and I also had Carson Beck not in that top tier.
I was actually surprised. I was going through my head when you said you had 12 quarterbacks, and I was thinking who you would have on there. You had everybody on the list that I expected. I'd kind of forgot about Spencer Rattler, but I thought you'd have McCarthy and Carson Beck on there. I think both have played extremely well. I'm not completely sold on J.J. McCarthy the way scouts are, but we'll see. Based on his performance for the last season and so far this year in seven games for Michigan, I think you'd have to consider him on that list.
Fair. Do you have, and again, I just threw it together, big guy. Do you have a problem with any of the list there? It just highlights what I'm talking about. This is a crazy good year for quarterback play.
Run through those names again real quick.
All right, quickly. Penix Jr., Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Jordan Travis, Sam Hartman, Dylan Gabriel, Quinn Ewers, Shedeur Sanders, Riley Leonard, Spencer Rattler.
No, I'd be adding random people to the mix that are not on the level as everyone else. I was going to maybe throw Talia, Tungavaloa at you, but
I have him like in the 12 to 20 range.
But I don't think he's quite in the high enough.
I'm not married to my list, so you guys are fine. If you want to cry, I swear to God, feel free to crush it. I was just going through an experience in my head, with how rich it is at the position.
Tyler Van Dyke's hurt right now, but I think if he was healthy, the numbers are still really good.
I love your list. I forgot about Rattler. The only thing I would do is I would add Beck and McCarthy. That's the only amendment I would make to it. One name I'll throw out there for you guys, Brady Cook out of Missouri. 14 touchdowns, 3 INTs.
Yeah,
been terrific this year for this team. And they have played very well, very, very well. Him and Luther Budden have done a tremendous job.
Jackson Dart?
Yeah. Patrick, yeah, that's a correct answer.
And you know why? Just because the gimmicky offense. Whatever. He's been fine. Fellas, like, if you have, they're all pros, right? Like, okay, Penix Jr., the problem with Penix Jr. is I think he's close to 24 years old.
Yeah.
No, that's not a problem. But he's going to come in, he's going to start right away. You know, the weird thing about Penix Jr., he is legitimately not a runner. Like, I don't even know if he's run for 100 yards.
I doubt he has.
I saw
he does not leave the pocket.
I need to find. There was a scout was comparing him to someone, and I was just like, no, I don't.
He's
see
not
that
a.
At
he's
all.
Not a runner. He literally never takes off.
He has.
So I don't know.
Skewed. Sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
He's technically. This is a problem. Well, he's only been sacked 3 times, so this number actually applies. He has 4 yards on the season.
4?
Yeah.
I said not 100. My goodness, 4. But he is a great pocket passer with wonderful presence. So he's going to be a pro.
Brock Heward who I actually like as an analyst, called him a strong-armed version of C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud has a stronger arm than Michael Penix.
I have no idea what Brock Heward is. I love me some Brock Heward.
Yeah, that's not correct.
That's not correct. I'll tell you right now, we're all taking C.J. Stroud. We're pushing all our chips in the middle on that arm strength.
Big, 100%.
I'm a big Washington fan. I'm a big Penix Jr. fan. I don't see it with him as a starting NFL quarterback.
Okay, well, let me put it. Let's do it this way. I'm going to give you the names, and I want you guys to tell me yes or no on a pro.
Okay.
And then, like, tiers. Like, pro, he's going to be an A. Pro, he's going to be a B. Pro, he's going to be a C. Okay? So let's start. We'll go Michael Penix Jr.
I'm going to go non-starter, so if that's a B, then I'll go B, if not C there. I think he's a great college quarterback. I don't think he's a pro.
Yeah, I think he's a B because I think he's going to get a chance to start, but ultimately he's going to be one of those in-between guys.
Yep.
Okay, let's go Bo Nix.
A. I think Bo Nix has turned himself into a first-round quarterback who's going to be a starter in the league.
Nah, I think everything he does fits college better. I'll go B. He'll get certain shots here and there, but I don't see someone handing the keys to a franchise over to Bo Nix.
I'm falling in love with the player. He's had such a glow up from what he was. He was a punchline.
Yes.
At Auburn. And you could give the kid credit. Right?
Patrick, I told Dustin, because he give Dustin credit. He picked Penix before the season. I was very critical of that pick to win the Heisman. My theory is still Oregon's going to win the Pac-12. Bo Nix is going to have a big game. He's going to win the Heisman Trophy. When you look at Bo Nix's numbers, guys, 79.2 completion percentage, 17 touchdowns and one INT. Are we changing the narrative on Bo Nix because he didn't get 3 yards? Is the conversation Bo Nix the leader in the clubhouse if they got 4 yards on fourth down?
It's fair. We'll talk. The Ducks are in a tough spot. Weird spot, I'll say, at home. We'll get to the game. Okay, let's continue this because these quarterbacks are fascinating. I'm going to save Caleb Williams for the last one to throw at you guys because I have plenty of thoughts. How about another glow up? Arizona State, Jaden Daniels was my least favorite college player of all time. All of a sudden, he's freaking great and unstoppable.
I thought there were kids back in San Bernardino that were better than him where he's from. And I got to tell you guys, I could not have been more wrong on what he turned out to be. There was a video when Arizona State, when he was transferring, there were guys pulling stuff out of his locker at ASU going, he's trash, and throwing stuff away that was in his locker. And
the team hated him.
The team hated him.
And now he's a leader.
He is the SEC player of the year.
I bet him to win the Heisman. I think it was 12-1, 14-1 this week. I think he's a B. I think he's going to get chances in the NFL. Yeah. Because he's athletic and he has a good arm. But I also, and the reason I bet him for Heisman, I think their defense is so bad that the stats are there for LSU where he's going to have to keep throwing and keep them in games late. That's why I think he's going to be in the mix at the end of the year. Whoever's voting on the awards, which by the way, there are probably people just walking around here right now who have a vote for Heisman. That's how many people get to vote in this award. I think they're going to look at his cumulative stats and go, wow, he had a monster year, so he's going to get invited because the numbers are going to be really big. But I don't see him as being like a real NFL quarterback.
I have him as a B, too.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. Daniels, 22 touchdowns, 3 INTs, 73% completion, and 2,300 yards.
Yeah, this is crazy. He's really
run for 515.
Brian Kelly has done a lot with quarterbacks in the past, too. So you always have to think about the coaching in college. Okay, I'm giving you guys my 12 quarterbacks. We talk about them, pro prospect, and give them a grade. Drake May.
I'm going to go A. I like his mobility. I think his mobility is vastly underrated. I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's going to be a starter in the league. One concern I have with him is his frame. He is very skinny for a quarterback that's got some length. I think he's skinny, almost a build like Bryce Young, but just taller.
Danae, I love him. I actually think there's a chance when they start dissecting some of the film that people are going to make the case he should go number one over Caleb.
Donk. I got a quarterback that's a comp to him later that I like better. I'll give him an A minus. Jordan Travis, boys.
B, great college player. I don't think he's a starter in the NFL.
Yeah, B, maybe a B plus because he's like mature enough that if he's ever given an opportunity in the NFL, he might be decent enough to win a few games, but he's not a starter.
B, totally agree. Sam Hartman.
B, or actually, you know what? I'm going to say C plus, but Sam Hartman is going to wind up with one of the longest careers of anybody out there because he is just a great team guy, and I think he'll last a long time.
I don't know. I think there's some skills that might translate. I think his weapons stink on the outside. I don't like Notre Dame's skill guys on the outside. I'll go B+. I think he has a chance to stick in the league for a little bit.
I may have to whisper this because our very own Tim Murray might get bitter. Notre Dame stinks. And the and we'll get to Ohio State. The fact that your Buckeyes didn't go to South Bend and trounce that team is not a great look, because I was watching them against, first off, USC is a terrible football team. Can we be fair about what USC is this year? They're terrible. That don't take away anything Notre Dame did to USC, because USC is garbage.
Without Caleb Williams, the Trojans are 4-8, 5-7 in that league.
100%. They're so untalented up front on both sides. It's actually laughable.
Soft. S-A-W-S-T. F-T.
Well done. Well done. Well done. Let's get one more in and we'll come back and finish it up. Dylan Gabriel.
I don't even know if he makes a roster.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
The letter I just forgot.
At your own joke that hard?
No, I'm laughing at how dumb I am. The letter I forgot in the last word, F, for Dylan Gabriel as NFL quarterback. Might make it as a tight end.
He's going to be coaching somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great story.
Yeah.
But he deserves to be, you guys agree, he deserves to be in this list for this year's college.
Oh, he's in the top five.
I got a 25-1 ticket on him to win the Heisman.
Do you have a 25-1 on my mom to win the Heisman?
When we come back, I'll give you all my Heisman. I don't have as many as you think.
I think he got hurt 50-1.
You're going to come back and read your Heismans?
Yeah, it's not as many as you think.
Well, I'll celebrate birthdays during the process. Quarterbacks in college right now to the pros. Coming up next here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
I'm just looking right there on the graphic. Life comes at you fast. Already the NBA is back. But how about Dame time as a Buck? Dame, this is going to be a weird year. Looking forward to it. And if you're looking forward to betting the NBA, the association this year, we've got our 2023 NBA betting guide. It's a really good guide this year. It really is. 30 team previews, live betting strategies, futures, and year-long player props. Plus, you can get strategy from our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, on building your own NBA betting model, which is very cool. Give yourself an edge. VSIN.com/subscribe for the 2023 NBA betting guide. Remember, if you want to get involved in the Equinox, which is $120 through May 1st, you get the betting guide along with it. So make sure you sign up. You won't regret it. VSIN.com/subscribe. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. I did hear you, Amal. We'll get to your comment after the quarterbacks. We do have week 8. Shout to our JMU Dukes last night, big guy. Never a problem against Marshall. But week 8, a lot of highlights. Penn State, Ohio State. I'll get to Tennessee, Bama. I know, Amal, you've got a big play there. I've got a first play there. Michigan, Michigan State, which doesn't have the same feel as it has in the past. But we'll get to those games in just a second. A little experiment I came up with early this morning where I was just like, man, there are a lot of good quarterbacks playing the position in college. Which one of, like, I put 12 as far as the elite, and then, you know, maybe some would argue with me, but I left JJ McCarthy, Carson Beck, Kyle McCord below that elite level, which is surprising because those three quarterbacks potentially pilot the three best teams in the country, arguably. But we went through Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Jordan Travis, Sam Hartman, and Dylan Gabriel. Throwing it at the boys and then asking for a letter grade, what you project him to be as a pro. Okay. Next up, Quinn Ewers, Texas quarterback.
A good size, great arm strength, good mobility. A little bit left to be desired in accuracy, but I think he can improve on that. He's got a good canvas to work with.
B, I still don't think Quinn Ewers is ever going to fulfill the potential he has. I know he's having a good year again, and I just don't buy Quinn Ewers. I just think he's a lot of gimmick.
I like Ewers. I'll say B+. I don't love. I don't know. He's grown on me a lot this year. Next up, Shedeur Sanders as a pro.
I'm gonna go A- to B+. I'm a little bit concerned about his size. I like his mobility. I think he does a great job of keeping his eyes down the field as the play breaks down and he scrambles.
Yeah, I think A minus is the right call with the potential to be a true A. I just think he needs to refine some things playing against some faster talent. Like, if we're having this conversation a year from now, I think we're going to be saying A.
I'll say A minus, and here's why. He has a shockingly strong arm.
Yes.
Like, I was not... His arm talent, it's like you think about Nepo kids and you're like, oh, you playing for your father? No, his talent is off the charts. I agree with them all as far as the build, the frame, but he does seem to have leadership qualities and his arm is crazy.
And he seems to process really quickly too.
You know, the real quick, the whatever the watch thing is, and people make fun of him, but the rest of the team, I got to tell you, I think he's a guy that's going to be liked wherever he is.
Yeah, he's got his dad has that magnetic thing where it's just like, even if you're annoyed by Deion, you gravitate towards him. And I think his son feels the same to me.
To me, like, all that stuff is no difference than people like talking about manifestation. It's the same thing. You're going to do that stuff to talk your ass, and now you have to back it up. It's the same thing as manifesting. It's the same thing.
Did you bring your spiritual beads with you to work today?
No, I just like there's just two walks of life that are like, they go, oh, well, if you speak it into existence and you do this and you're going to live up to it. That's all having that planned out ahead of time with the watch. It's the same thing. I want to ball out so I can have this moment and point to the watch.
Okay. The big guy with the secret on Sharp Money today.
You're welcome.
Next up.
You could be as happy as me.
The one that I, no, that's funny. You guys, we talked about Drake May. I'll use this guy as a comp, and I'll, to Amal's point, while Drake May is a little slender, this guy is thick, Riley Leonard. I think he's going to be a pro. I got him as an A. I love the Duke quarterback.
I like him a lot as well. I think his size is fantastic. He's got decent mobility. You know, the problem at Duke is he just didn't have great talent around him, but he's done an effective job, cerebral player. I like him, and I think he's going to be better than Daniel Jones.
I think he is equal to Drake May. I think that's a good comparison.
You know, he's just maybe May's more talent. I don't know.
No, May's just had more hype. May's just had more hype and better talent.
Definitely. Oh, my gosh. The hype is off the charts.
Riley Leonard's never had a Josh Downs to throw to. He's never had a Tez Walker to throw to.
That's my point. Like, and when they showed him before, maybe it was the Notre Dame game, they had him out there in shorts and a t-shirt. Dude is thick.
Yeah.
Like, he's not getting hurt. Spencer Rattler. I don't know what you guys think about. Spencer Rattler is an intangible guy. He is really just, he's got something in him.
I like Spencer. I know there was a lot of criticism. There was some, like, he was on some show in high school or something.
Yeah, QB1.
It didn't go well. Oklahoma ends up transferring. But I think he's got great arm strength. He can make all the throws. And maybe he's been humbled a little bit. I don't know. I haven't paid as much attention to him personality-wise since he's been in Columbia. But I like him. I think he's a guy who's an A.
He is a B, B plus for me. He is similar to Quinn Ewers. He's never fulfilling the prophecy of what his talent is capable of being.
Just because I've watched him so much, maybe I'm a little too close. A minus. He's a dog too. Like, there's a lot of dog in Spencer Rattler. He's very competitive. Very competitive. Okay. There's three that I left off. JJ McCarthy, Carson Beck, and Kyle McCord. Of course, Michigan, Georgia, and Ohio State. Do you guys have an issue with the three of them? Thoughts on them as a pro? Anything?
JJ McCarthy is getting a first round grade for the NFL draft. I'm like, who are these people that are evaluating him? The same people that evaluated Will Levis? I don't see it. To me, he's a B. I'm a B on him. And then Kyle McCord, I think he'll get better next year. This is his first year starting. I like what he brings to the table overall. I'm going to say B.
Yeah, JJ McCarthy, it's part him. It's part the offense they run. I don't think they put him in really good positions to succeed and make big time throws when it matters. He's a guy that if he has to make throws to win you the game right now with the way they design their offense, more of a pro style than full on spread offense, I don't trust him to get it done. He doesn't quite have the accuracy or the arm strength of some of the other guys on the list. I'm not a JJ McCarthy guy, and I do not understand the NFL hype.
Okay, yeah, I don't like any of the quarterbacks, so I'm just going to make that quick. McCarthy, Beck, and McCord, they're all whatever to me. I literally don't think J.J. McCarthy's a pro. I forgot Caleb Williams.
I'm over Caleb Williams. I'm so over this
but,
guy.
But is that a hype conversation? I'm talking about the player in the pros.
Dude, a year ago or in the summer, we had people saying he's the next Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes at this point in his college career wasn't even Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
Like, he had to sit for a year behind Alex Smith if they knew what he was going to be, or maybe he developed in that year. But the talk about Caleb Williams got so out of control. I'm so happy it came back down to earth and we saw some warts on the player, because there are no perfect prospects. He certainly wasn't one. And by the way, every single play with him is him just waiting and waiting and waiting for the pass rush to get to him. That's not going to happen in the NFL.
I agree with you guys both. You mentioned off schedule, Patrick, and you talked about him holding the ball too long. He's going to break Dave Craig's record for career fumbles if he holds the ball that long. I mean, you just can't do that at the pros. Everybody can run. Everybody can get to the quarterback. I think he's a great player. I think he's an A. There's no question about it. But I didn't like the suggestion from scouts this past week that he's better than Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow. You want to put him in that category? God. I got no problem with it. But don't sit there and forget what Joe Burrow did in 2019. Don't forget what Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, I think, had two losses in his career. They both came in the Superdome.
I totally agree. But there's a lot of questions I have. What you guys mentioned about holding on to football. Also, maybe something that hasn't been discussed. I'll be fascinated to see how he measures, because he's small.
I said the same thing. I think Dustin and I talked about it. I said, I don't think this kid's height is going to pass the test. That's the one area I have a concern.
I agree with everything you guys said. But low-key, I think they roll this week against Utah.
I just know Kyle Whittingham's teams are going to dominate the line of scrimmage like they always do.
Well, I think they've won the last three against USC.
Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day have the same problem. They just think they can outscore and out-finesse everybody.
Rematch of the Pac-12 championship.
No Cam Rising,
14-18 matchup, Utah-USC.
Second half adjustments. It looked like the old Pete Carroll days when Utah came out of that locker room. They destroyed the Trojans in the second half. I think it's a tough game.
The Notre Dame game. Talk about I thought Arizona exposed USC.
Yes.
USC was embarrassed against a mid-Irish team.
Lincoln Riley is a great recruiter. He's a great offensive coordinator. He's great at coming up with an offensive game plan. Might not be a head coach of the program the caliber USC is.
Well, see, here's what I don't know. You guys are all on that theme, but when talking about, how many times did he have Oklahoma in the Final Four?
I think they've been in the playoffs 5 times.
He had a lot of NFL quarterbacks. What'd he do with them?
But his system highlighted we'll continue the conversation, including a big-time program that's cheating.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the VSiN betting splits updated every 5 minutes straight from DraftKings. Check them out right now over at VSiN.com. Money and bets for every game. Today's games and future events as well. It's just a necessary tool for your betting arsenal. VSiN.com for the betting splits. Okay, we got you back. College football, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. If it's okay, I want to start with unconventionally a game that has, of course, Michigan and a team that struggled this year for a multitude of reasons in Michigan State. This is, growing up in Michigan, I'm going to bring it up because Amal, I know it's one of your plays, and we're going to be on opposite sides here. But I want to set this game up because, growing up in the state of Michigan, it's impossible to kind of articulate how much this matters to the programs, specifically how much it matters to little brother, that being Michigan State and East Lansing. And again, we know what's gone on with Mel Tucker. One thing we can all agree to, that it's not crazy to suggest that Michigan State is going to be the most talented team that Michigan's faced this year, because Michigan's schedule has been a freaking joke. And Michigan, no doubt, Michigan State, Sparty is completely outmatched here. It's a 24 and a half number at home that they're catching. So I'll start there. But again, this is going to be a rivalry that people outside of the state of Michigan really can't conceptualize. This is, again, a Michigan State team that's dealt with a ton of crap. So everything has led to this game. Also, it's a state team that had fourth quarter leads on the road the last two games, a meltdown against Rutgers, They had a fourth quarter lead against Iowa. They've killed themselves with turnovers. That's fixable. And penalties. It's a good defense against the run. We know what Michigan likes to do. Michigan State, good defense against the run, good on third downs, and good in the red zone. Again, I don't think they're going to win the game. The media availability has been interesting as well, because listening to some of the kids and the players there at Michigan State, it does feel like they've got a little juice, a lot of juice, I should say, heading into this game. So again, it's a vacuum game. And what I mean by that is Michigan State, their season is a disaster. There's a lot of pride, a rivalry on the line. This is what they're playing for. I don't expect them to win the game, but I'll take them to cover the 24.5. And as an aside, there are allegations coming out that Michigan has been stealing signs and cheating. Let me say this, and this is, again, maybe blasphemous from a dude from Michigan, and all of my friends growing up are Michigan fans. I'll say this. This Michigan team is unwatchable and unlikable, and it starts with Harbaugh. Harbaugh, I don't even think he's quite human. Like, do you ever feel like you're really connecting when he talks post game to the reporter there on the field? Does it ever feel like there's a human being inside of there? Like, he is a really weird person. There's been issues the whole entire time he's been at Ann Arbor. And if it's true that they're stealing signs in a nefarious way, like an unlikable Harbaugh and a Michigan team that's not aesthetically overly pleasing becomes way less likable. So again, I don't know if the allegations are true. I'll just say I'll take the 24.5. I don't expect them all of them to win the game, but give me Sparty Party.
Well, I think it's a great breakdown. And normally I would agree with you. In a rivalry game like this, you're getting this many points. This is Michigan State's season. It doesn't matter what happens the rest of the way. If they knock off Michigan, or at least are competitive in the game, I think it's arguably the biggest win they have on the field all season long. Can't disagree with any of what you said. The other thing I'll point to is McCarthy's had 3 interceptions this year. And that surprises me a little bit, only because when you look at the Wolverines, the situations they're in, I'm like, how are you even in a situation where you're throwing errant passes? Everything is being set up by a great running game and a dominant defense. Just surprised me a little bit. But the Wolverines have just been stifling defensively, giving up 47 points. Patrick, I saw Derek Stevens earlier today when I was walking in, and he said this is the quietest Michigan-Michigan State game he can remember in 30 years. He said it almost feels like Sparty's like, hey, if we can avoid guys getting hurt on this game, we'll be fine. I would normally sign off absolutely taking 24 in a rivalry game, but it reminds me a little bit, you got to go back, I forgot the year now, I apologize, when Miami played Florida State up in Doak Campbell, and Florida State won 47-0, and Miami was in complete disarray. And I got to tell you, that's where I feel like Michigan State is right now. And this is Michigan State's best team in 26 years. You got to go back to the 97 National Championship to have a team, to me, that is comparable to what we see right now.
Okay. Lay it with the Wolverines. Big guy, I don't know if you have a take. And I don't know if either of you have a take on my Harbaugh.
I completely agree.
But, I mean, it's almost like he's constantly acting, but then there's an aloofness to him that he doesn't quite connect. It's an unlikable vibe. I don't know how and you know, it's the opposite of his brother, John, the Ravens head coach, eminently likable.
Yeah.
Very, like, you feel like he's present. There's a weird vibe with Jim Harbaugh. That's an aside.
The not human thing, like, I feel like he neither does robotic. Good or bad. He doesn't understand. It doesn't compute for him. Yeah, it doesn't compute. 1997, Florida State over Miami.
That's right.
I do have a play on this one, actually. Patrick, to your point, Michigan State's 13-2 ATS last 15 versus the Wolverines. However, I'm going to lay it in the first half. Here's why. Wolverines 17-5-1 against spread last 23 Big Ten games. They've outscored opposition this year 276-47, 10th in the country scoring 39.4 points per game, number one defense in the country allowing 6.7 points per game. Opponents have finished just 3.3 drives per game in plus territory against Michigan. There have been 0 first and goal situations against the Michigan defense. And I know Michigan's played bad offensive teams, but Michigan State might actually be worse. This stat that I saw someone reference, SP plus is 86 for Michigan State. I think it's worse than some of the teams that Michigan has played so far. I'm going to lay 12.5 in the first half. I just want them to cover 2 touchdowns and I'm good to go.
I got to tell you, Patrick, real quick, I didn't realize the number was 12.5. I thought it was 14 or 14.5. I didn't even look at it. That's a great bet.
Okay. Late in the first half, lay it full game. That's Dustin and Amal, respectively. And for me, take it. If you can find the 24.5, obviously I like that. I think I got a weird feeling about this matchup. I think Sparty's going to kind of hang around, and then Michigan, of course, will win the game.
I just want to add one more thing. On Monday, I will be sitting there saying one of my rules is never lay 24 points on the road in a rivalry game. And you're not wrong. Like, the reality of it is 99 out of 100 times I would never make this play, and your arguments are absolutely correct. I just think right now Michigan is at their just at the climax, and when you look at right now with Michigan State where they are at the bottom of their value.
See, totally agree. And totally agree. I mean, and the way they fell apart against Rutgers, like there's again, it's they're human beings that like the motivation is so it's hard to explain. It's a weird state. The motivate like this is a this is important for Michigan State. That's all I don't know how to articulate it.
Motivation is interesting too from a Michigan perspective with this scandal. Remember, this is the team that when their own program suspended their own coach, they came out with a four tribute to start the season as if he was like out with heart surgery or something. I think they're going to use the cheating scandal, which by the way, I saw a weird Greg Schiano halftime interview from last weekend during that game where he sort of alleges it, but doesn't really, just saying there's weird things happening on the field is what he said.
Really?
So there may be some truth to it, and Rutgers may be the team that ratted out Michigan. But I think this is a weird program that is going to want to come out and get out to a really fast start to kind of shove it down people's throats.
Okay. This is not a mall. Here's what I'll say about the Big Ten. And you've got 7 Penn State at 3 Ohio State. Here's the problem. This game, marquee matchup. This is the game of the weekend. We can talk about Tennessee and Bama. You can talk about Utah, USC. But the marquee matchup this weekend is Penn State, Ohio State. The problem is the marquee matchup last weekend was Oregon, Washington. So, like, when you're watching Penn freaking State, it's a very good defense. When you're watching Penn State with that just... offense that is so nauseatingly boring and Aller is so overrated against this Ohio. There is a drastic difference as far as aesthetically what you're going to be seeing here from last weekend.
Patrick, I'm going to give you an analogy you're going to understand and people from the Midwest will understand. I'm sorry, Dustin, you may not get this. Patrick, you want to go ride roller coasters at Cedar Point or do you want to go to the county fair? That's where we're going from. Cedar Point to the county fair in terms of roller coasters. I mean, this is horrific in terms of the drop off. I got to tell you, I usually look forward to this game every year between Ohio State and Penn State. I don't think it's a great game. I think it's going to be one. It's just going to be a battle of attrition. Whichever team can minimize mistakes. I have some serious concerns about this Ohio State team from an offensive standpoint. Can the offensive line hold up? Defensively, they don't get a ton of sacks. Yes, they got some in their last game against Purdue, but that's very misleading. Other than that, they were dead last in the Big Ten coming into the Purdue game in terms of sacks. This Penn State team is very good defensively. We know what Caleb King is in the secondary. This team can be very dangerous. I think Penn State, if Drew Aller can minimize mistakes, convert on 3rd and 4 or less, I think they've got a great shot. And if you're going to play Penn State, I would look at the plus 165 on the money line. I think they can get their second win in 12 years against Ohio State.
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll come back and give our plays, but we're going from Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix to Kyle McCord and Drew Aller. And I know Aller's a 19-year-old kid, so I'm not being disrespectful, and they don't give him a lot to do, but woof. Right? I mean, come on. Anyway, we'll come back. I've got to play. I know the big guy's got to play. Amal's got to play. We're back. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, VSIN, part of the DraftKings family. And right now, new customers over at DraftKings. Download the app, bet $5, and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. A great deal. Use the promo code SHARP. Also, DraftKings, no sweat, same game parlay every day. DraftKings, the crown is yours. We're talking, and again, a couple things from during the break. One, we've got the weather forecasts. Remember, Penn State, Ohio State, that perfect kickoff time of noon in Columbus, Ohio. And again, if you go out late tonight, don't worry. This will be an awesome opportunity to sneak in a nap. that being Penn State, Ohio State. Also from the break, Amal Shaw asked the hard-hitting question, outside of electricity, what is the greatest invention of all time? I think I can say this on the air. Dustin snap called him and said, Pornhub. So a very mature conversation during the break. Are you proud of yourself, Dustin Sweetelson?
No, I just think it just goes to show you that it's not an act. This is who I am, unfortunately.
It is. There was nobody listening. There was nobody watching. He wasn't performing. Okay, weather quickly. So a noon kickoff, 7-3, Penn State, Ohio State. What's the weather going to be like tomorrow?
Wait, do we really have to check the weather for a Big Ten noon kickoff? Isn't the sky just automatically going to be gray? No, it's going to be 54 degrees. 15% chance of precipitation. So happy I said that correctly. And 11-mile-per-hour winds.
Okay. We've talked about the one-dimensional, or I guess you would say lack of explosiveness on offense for Penn State and Drew Aller. Maybe it's not the kid's fault, Amal, but he's got an average depth of target of 6.6 yards. And how about this? Aller has 195 dropbacks this year, boys. He has attempted 11 passes over 20 yards. Well, let me repeat, 195 dropbacks, 11 attempts over 20 yards. This offense is gross. I'll lay it with Ohio State and feel good about it.
You know, I don't have a problem with that play. I can't confidently back the Buckeyes because I'm concerned about the offensive line. That's a real big sticking point for me with this Penn State defense. You mentioned it. Keandre Lambert-Smith, the leading receiver for Penn State, just 31 catches on the season. And the reason I bring that up is their next leading receiver, Theo Johnson's at 16 receptions. So I do have some concerns. And if you don't stretch the field against Ohio State, you're going to be in trouble. Denzel Burks had a great season so far. I think it'll be a real challenge here. The one positive, though, I got to point out for Penn State, in the first and third quarters this year combined, so far this year, guys, they've given up 10 points. 10 in the first, 0 in the third quarter. They're going to have to play well, get out to a fast start. The one thing, Dustin, when I look at, if they fall behind and think it's going to be tough, you get that crowd going. If they can jump out to an early lead like that Saquon game where they ran the kickoff back, they need something to get them going. And Patrick made a great point. If they don't put pressure on this Buckeyes defense, as good as Allen and Singleton are, I don't think they're going to be able to do it by themselves.
Well, Allen and Singleton
Dustin, quickly, Ryan Day, 35-0 against teams in the Big Ten not named Michigan. I'm sure you guys have seen the stats. And James Franklin, who, you know, I've long loved to tail. Excuse me, fade, because he's a donk. James Franklin is... I'll just keep my opinions to myself.
You know, I was going to ask you this specific question, Patrick. You would describe James Franklin, who is 4-14 versus Ohio State lifetime, as A, smart, B, sneaky, or C, moral?
D, shady.
Well, that goes to my point here. I think Drew Aller hasn't thrown the ball yet because they're saving those downfield
shots for Ohio State.
Yeah, they're totally saving them for today. That's what it is. They didn't want to show anything against the awful schedule they've opened the season with this year. That's part of the plan for sneaky Franklin. That's what he does. I am concerned about the running backs for Penn State. I will give you that. I thought Allen and Singleton were going to be better, but maybe that's also because of the opponents they were playing and then coming out of games and maybe not getting the amount of touches that they would have normally gotten. I think this game comes down to the two defensive coordinators, though. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game for the most part, and I think the key is getting pressure to the young, inexperienced quarterbacks. And when I look at one side, Manny Diaz for Penn State, horrible head coach, may get a shot again. Good defensive coordinator, loves to bring pressure. McCord has not been good passing in pressure pockets this year, just 15 of 42. Penn State is calling blitzes at a 56% rate this season. The offensive line for Ohio State is an issue. I think that's the X factor. That's why I'm going to take the 5.5 in a low-scoring game and back the Nittany Lions.
Nope, not sold. I don't think you're crazy to do. As far as elusiveness on offense, like outside of Lambert Smith, do they have anybody that scared like Penn State? I don't know if they're sustaining drives and picking up first downs and keeping Ohio State off the field. Maybe that's a chance. I'll say this, Dustin, is the first half total still right around 23? I do like the under that, we talked about, you know, gray skies, windy noon start, maybe a little bit to get going. I'll say under the 23 if it's still sitting there in the first half.
I strongly considered it at 22.5. That's where it's at right now.
Okay.
I think you bring up a good point. I'm going to give you one last sales pitch, Patrick. 27 sacks this year by Penn State.
Ohio, no, their defense is legit.
And Penn State's quarterbacks have been sacked, which would be Drew Aller, four times this year. The Buckeyes have gotten only 10 sacks, and they've given up 10 sacks. I'm concerned about the offensive line. I think Penn State's defensive front is going to be a real problem. I didn't play this game, but if I end up on it, I'm going to take Penn State, and I'm going to take the money line. I think it's 4.5 or 5.5 right now, guys.
5.5.
To me,
it's 5.5.
5.5. That's what I bet this morning.
Hold on.
It's a very public play, Penn State. That concerns me. Feels like the public's all over Penn State.
No, the number is 4.5.
Well, I
DraftKings circa everywhere, 4.5.
I just think the offensive line is going to be the key. Now, to Patrick's play, if Ohio State's offensive line plays their best game of the season and they're competent, I think it's the Buckeyes by 10 plus points.
Let me just.
And combat the sacks and with Abuka out on one side, I think.
Is he officially out?
No, but likely. He's banged up at the very least. Marvin Harrison's prop total set at 5.5 receptions. And I think they could throw a lot of screens to get the ball in his hands to make plays because the running game hasn't been great for the Buckeyes either.
It's because the offensive line.
So I think that you can combat that by getting the ball into Harrison, your best player's hands on screens and short passes. That could be a way to get away from getting sacked.
By the way, go ahead, sorry.
No, please.
I was just going to say, Harrison's got to get involved, but it seems like he's had his biggest games outside of the Michigan game last year against some of the weaker opponents. And we were talking about the quarterback
shot.
I tell you right now, I would take Roma Dunze before I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. in the draft.
Dunze's build is perfection.
Yes.
He's going to be such a great pro. I'm glad we get paid to watch this game because I don't care. Penn State, Ohio State. Oh my gosh!
By the way, Ryan Day is a donk.
Gross colors, like you know. Ryan, no offense, people from Ohio.
James Franklin's a donk. Ryan Day is also a donk. This is Donk Bowl 2, 2023.
Which was Donk Bowl 1?
Staley versus who'd they play?
Can't
the Chargers?
That
who'd
bad.
They just lose to?
No,
the
McCarthy.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
My Halloween costume.
What am I supposed to do? Speaking of donks, I don't know. That's not a good transition, but I'll say this. I know you got a big play on Alabama.
Yeah.
5.5 in the first half. Lay it. Roll Tide. Offense starting to click. 17 Tennessee, 11 Bama. Revenge spot. Remember, they lost a freaking heartbreaker at Tennessee last year. I mean, Tennessee is horrible. No offense. I know I speak like that. Like people probably must get annoyed when I'm calling everybody horrible. Tennessee ain't very good. And Bama's starting to click. Is it 5.5 in the first half? I got 5.5, boys. I'll lay that.
Oh, I laid it.
You're with me on that first half.
Hell yeah.
I don't disagree at all. I think this is going to be an absolute blowout. I think Alabama, before the loss last year, had won 15 in a row against Tennessee. I think they get back on track here. They were so dominant against this team in the past. Jalen Milroe has still – the short and intermediate throws aren't great, but I think Burton's going to be able to take the top off of this defense. Guys, last week, if you saw the A&M game, Bazooka Joe throws for only 100 yards. They had no business winning that football game. Even Max Johnson threw for 230 yards against Tennessee. I think Milroe has a big day. Jace McClellan running the football. Bama's defense, Dallas Turner right now might be the best defensive player in college football, is hitting his stride. This is a tough defense. Kool-Aid McKistry, I'm calling for one pick from him on Saturday.
It's Tennessee's first road game since week 3 at Florida.
They got worked.
They trailed 26-7 at the half. Milton's completing 58% of his passes against the SEC this year. Alabama's won the first half in 22 of 29 SEC games. Alabama's won the first quarter in 3 of their last 4 at home. Tennessee has lost the first half in each of their last 3 games in Tuscaloosa. We are laying 5 and a hook, and we feel freaking
this
great
is
about it.
Alabama something 30 to Tennessee 14 or less.
Heupel's got to get on a diet, by the way. He's in a bad way.
I'll DM.
His cholesterol must be lit. All right, we're back. Samich, we're going to run the NFL board.